Their bodies all day.
Some brand new Ezra Collective, brand new song called Streets Calling from their upcoming new album, which is going to be out soon. And another big emphasis on the relationship between jazz and dancing. So I can't wait to hear it. Here it is, Streets Are Calling.
Silence deafening, the ringtone bargaining. The streets say cash for ass, that's bargaining. Streets keep calling. Somewhere in between the dusk and the morning. Sunny in the skies, but the wind be appalling. Yebe wunzienda, I guess I'm all in. Kujo Kwesi Kwame, moving like an army. The vapes are blowing on vapes, he be gnarly. The seaside be sweet side, the booze dark and stormy. Forget you'll be out wanting, they inform me.
The streets is calling, I'ma pick up, cause the streets is calling. The streets is calling, the streets is calling, I'ma pick up, cause the streets is calling.
This one, they enter.
Yeah?
100%.
I'ma tell you something. I'ma telling you, the streets got me all the time.
Yeah, the streets, they the whole way.
Me and my sister, when we hit the streets, we do not want it, no legal dicky. Counting my spacey, isn't a thingy. Dancing the doggy, that is the plenty.
Bringing the sticky, the cootie and freaky. Enjoyment for Galdem, the big boys are picky. Lagos to Josie, they know us, we spoil there. Swiping and living la vida, sorted.
Get the table, get us the thingsy. Ask no questions, we pay the billy. See, baningi.
So I'm very excited to be joined by a guest on today's Yellow Brick Road. It is Joe from the band Joe and the Ship Boys. And I'm so excited because you guys have had an album out. And I don't know, let's introduce you, I guess, to our listeners first. How did all of this Joe and the Ship Boys get started?
Hey, thanks for having me. It got started actually kind of as a joke. Me and the guitarist, we have been talking when drunk that we should get together and make some lo-fi stuff sometime. And we were in different bands at that point. And then one time early in 2018, he wrote to me, "Hey man, let's do like a bullshit one-off punk single. We're going to be called Joe and the Shit Boys. You're going to be Joe and we're going to be playing shit punk." And then we met up and talked, what is shit punk? Like, what is shit punk? It's just some dumb stuff that we made up and we still use it because and nobody can tell us that, oh, you're not playing hardcore punk or you're not playing garage punk or proto punk, and we do a bunch of different things, but I think it sounds super pretentious to say, oh, we can't really be defined. Of course, listen, you know it's punk, but you want to get like down to the basics or specifics, I mean, then you can't really call it hardcore because a lot of our songs are not hardcore, but you can't call like original punk, like true punk rock, because some of the stuff is hardcore and some of it is more post-punk and all these sorts of things. But yeah, so we met up and in 2 hours we talked about what is shit punk, defined it, and then we wrote, rehearsed, and recorded two songs in 2 hours, and it felt right. And then by the time this single was supposed to come out, we were like, oh, let's have a show. But we can't really invite a bunch of people to come to our show and just play for 3 minutes. That's like a very dick move. So we met up again and had 2 5-hour sessions where we wrote 10 songs and called that an album. That was the first one. And then we did it once again for our second album and it just kept rolling. And it started to resonate with people pretty quickly. And then we realized that, yes, even though it's very fun, it's no longer just a joke band because it makes a difference in people's lives here. It's a very isolated and conservative place, and people need something to shake them up. They need to feel heard, feel seen.
For sure. And I think I should probably explain for, like, I have played you guys on the show before, so I think our listeners might be familiar, but the description also speaking of, like, how you would define yourself as a band, I remember the kind of press description that you guys gave out was that you were vegan bisexual punks from the Faroe Islands, and obviously that's going to make anybody... Shit punks, yes. And that's going to make anybody sit up and go, oh, what is that? Like, I have not heard of other punk bands from the Faroe Islands. I have certainly not heard of other vegan, bisexual, queer shit punks from the Faroe Islands. So, like you were saying, it's a pretty small scene as well.
Yeah, it's like there's one other punk band in the Faroes. That's the band that we grew up listening to. And we don't really have a punk scene here. We have a music scene. Everybody plays mm-hmm. together. And I prefer it to be that way, because when I'm at a show, since this is what I've been conditioned to, I expect to see a bunch of different genres. While we're on tour, like international tours, we play with a bunch of other punk bands, and it's really good bands, but like especially we have like two openers, and then it's like first band, oh, what do we hear? It's punk. Second band goes on, what is this? Punk. Mm-hmm. And then we come on, and it's punk. Why is there no R&B? Why is there no jazz?
Some variety for the night.
Yeah. And the description, that's also because, like, it sells. It's a journalist's wet dream to see, like, oh, from the Faroe Islands, and it's bisexual, it's, like, queer, and it's vegan, and what the fuck is shit punk? And it works out great for us, actually. Yeah, some people get super triggered, but I don't care. And I remember we played at Iceland Airwaves, a big festival in Reykjavik mm-hmm. in 2019. And we had like 300 followers on Instagram. That's it. And we played this venue. It's called Gökgrin. And I believe it's the capacity is 450. And it was completely full. And it was mainly like industry people at the show, just based on our description. Like this bisexual vegan shit punk stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we just keep using it because it keeps working out.
Sort your trash. Save the planet.
And that was a big gig for you guys as well, the Iceland Airwaves one.
Yeah, definitely. So Iceland was the first place we played outside of the Faroes, any of us ever. And at this show, since it was stacked with industry people, we got some great connections. We got a review in NME where they said that John Shippers was the best thing they heard at Iceland Airwaves. And that's incredible because Mac DeMarco played and Monsters and Men played, like wow. Some really big acts. And like I said, we had 300 followers on Instagram. We got management, we got the PR, we got a booking agent, and even got a lawyer, everything from this one gig.
And a lot of people kind of say things about their bands, but you guys really put your money where your mouth is. Like, your songs are also kind of about the things that you put in your description. So, you know, you very much write political songs. And I was just amazed by how, when I heard your second album, The Reason for Hardcore Vibes, again, I was just amazed by how you were able to put all that stuff into just 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the way we write songs, it's we sit in a room and then I figure out why I'm sitting there. What am I pissed off about? It starts like that. And then I try to think of like something catchy that we can use as a song title or as a chorus. It's usually how it works. And then I build the song around that. And we try to make it funny too, because it needs to stick with people. We're just very serious. I mean, like Black Flag, they've done so much good stuff, but I have no idea where they stand politically. And their lyrics are also very political, but it's like, I don't remember them. And if you play 34 songs at a show, Like, are you gonna remember song number 12 or 17 or whatever? Like, no, probably not. So I tried to make like catchphrases, something that sticks out, some hooks.
You think it's gross when two boys kiss? You're ashamed of your kid. You wonder why there's no straight pie. Say gay instead of bad.
But also the cover art that you guys have used for the three albums, I know that there's a bit of a story behind it as well, right? It's very eye-catchy again, but there's a whole story behind it.
Yeah, it's Siggy Shit, our guitarist. He worked at a Demolition Crew, and he was breaking down this old school. And as he was nearing the arts and crafts sections, he found this terrible painting, and it said the reason for hardcore vibes, and reason was spelled wrong. And there was like a brass knuckles on it, a baseball bat, a gun, and something that's either a butterfly knife or hedge scissors. And he looked at it, he's like, this needs to be the cover art of a shitty punk single one day. And I think he had it for like 2 years or something before he found the right place to do it. And there's nothing about it that's just like, it has this adolescent rage emanating from it. And we have no idea who painted it. We just stole it. It's a stolen artwork. And nobody has stepped forward. We are, like, people know who John Shippas are in the Pharaohs because there's, like I said, there's two punk bands. You know who's in the punk bands, and you know what the punk bands are. So people know this logo, this cover art, and nobody has stepped forward. So if this person is out there, he has definitely seen it, but he either can remember doing it or he's too embarrassed to say something.
At the point now where your fan base or who you guys call the shitheads is getting big enough that like Iggy Pop is a fan, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a super fan actually. It's crazy because we are not a big band by any means, like not at all, but we have some big players that are vouching for us, and I hope that's gonna pay off. Like Iggy Pop, he has played us, I stopped counting after 11 times, but he has this radio show and he keeps playing us. And he's also promised to play a lot more stuff from the new album. I think like at the end of this month, he's going to play more.
He's also used your music as walk-on music, like live at his shows, hasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. It's so insane. He didn't tell us about it, so we're probably not getting paid for it, but it's okay. We use it as walkout music. And also, as he was recording his latest album, he was sitting in the studio with Travis Barker. He was using, I can't remember the other band, but like there was two bands, one other band, an eggpunk band, and then us as a reference point for Travis Barker. And that's just insane. Like Iggy Pop telling Travis Barker, you should sound more like Johnny Shit or whatever. I don't know what the conversation was, but yeah, he said it in an interview with Rick Rubin.
Again, big places.
Actually, while I was in Canada, we toured Canada last year.
I was going to say that, you know, your album is called The Reason for Hardcore Vibes. And I'll tell you why you guys are hardcore, because you went out to Manitoba last year in January, which is an almost insane thing to do.
It was so fucking cold.
I can imagine.
What was really wild to me, and I'm going to talk shit about Canada now, sorry, but what was really wild, it was so fucking cold. And there were so many homeless people there. Mm-hmm. Like with holes in their pants. And I was well dressed, or so I thought. You know, I was clearly not dressed well enough. Like all of us, our lips, they were like cracking up and mm-hmm. stuff. But people are homeless. I bet you guys have a lot of homeless deaths.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of problems with like not enough shelters, not enough places for people to go. Where can they like find a spot to just like bide themselves over when it's minus 40 degrees outside? It's definitely a problem.
Yeah, but it was great being in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a lot.
Where all did you guys end up playing? I know that there were six shows.
There was in Saskatoon, Edmonton, and I think it was in Quebec.
But and how were those shows?
They were great. Like some of them were pretty packed, some of them not so much. Like most of them had more than I expected, if I'm being honest. And it was nice talking to the locals. I especially liked the natives, like the stories they were telling. And yeah, Canada's also been pretty mean to the natives.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty funny. I kept asking the audience, like, oh, are Canadians nice? They're like, yeah, do the natives agree? And it's like silence, except for a few natives who were laughing their ass off.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool.
Again, you get your point across in two sentences.
Yeah.
Well, the first album, The Reason for Hardcore Vibes, second album, The Reason for Hardcore Vibes again, and the third album that's just come out, The Reason for Hardcore Vibes 3. So there are still reasons. You still have reasons for Hardcore Vibes.
For Hardcore Vibes, yeah. We're not sure if the next one's going to be called that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is all stuff that we've done a while ago. That's just been hung up due to like bureaucratic bullshit. We originally finished this album in 2019, like even before we went to Iceland Airwaves.
Okay.
And then we had to re-release the first one and then COVID hit, so we couldn't re-release it straight away. And it was like so long, the process. So now we have so much stuff that's just sitting there that we're still trying to put out. And I think for like the next one, we're aiming to have it out within a year. It was almost a 3-year gap between album two and album three. And it's like people have been waiting for these 10 extra minutes for so long.
But I mean, it's a really good 10 minutes of music. The energy, like just opening the album, Legalize Everything, and just keeps going up and up and up in energy. Like it's a really fun album.
Thank you very much. It's the first one where we were proper sellouts and did overdubs, and we had somebody else mix it and spent a bit more money on mastering. But it's actually the first album where I truly like the sound. I don't really like the sound of the first two, but I like the songs, just not the sound, not mm-hmm. the mix.
The recording.
The recording, yeah. What I try to do is, I see a concert as an experience based in music, but an experience nonetheless. And I try to do something with the room. I try to make everybody feel both uncomfortable, but also comfortable. So they're mm-hmm. comfortable with being uncomfortable. Like it's okay to get called out, because I call everybody out with mm-hmm. my lyrics, but I also call myself out. So if everybody gets called out, everybody gets called an asshole, then everybody's an asshole, so we're all equal. And it allows people to loosen up, and I like getting people to dance. Like if it's a wilder crowd, maybe I'll get them to dance instead of mosh. And if it's a bunch of people who never been to a rock show before, I like getting them to mosh. It's all about getting people to express themselves in some way. There's a lot of banter, like back and forth between us on stage and the audience.
And like it kind of becomes this whole cathartic thing. I've also noticed that on your new album, it seems that some of the songs are a little bit more personal, a bit more kind of like, I mean, all your songs are like your thoughts on the world and stuff. But it seems that there are a few more songs where you're kind of on this album looking a bit inwards and like, you know, talking about kind of your friends and the power of friendship and like, you know, songs like Please Seek Help and everything, where you've talked a little bit about your experiences as well.
Yeah, like for that one, Please Seek Help, it's I'm calling out a bullshit type of thought. You have all of these issues with insecurity and mental health issues, but you're not seeking help because somebody feels worse than you do. So who the fuck are you to complain? Who are you to waste anybody's time? But like, there is only one person in the world who has it the worst. If we need to wait for that person to feel better and then move on to the next, the second worst person, and then to the third worst person, like we're never going to get anything done. Then we're going to keep feeling like shit. And that's so unnecessary. And I've done it myself quite a lot.
Wanted to ask you a little bit about like the music scene in the Faroe Islands, because you talked about how it was like seeing new music every day, every night, but sort of where do your like influences come from and what's kind of the music scene over there like?
So the music scene is actually incredibly strong, I'd say, when it comes to the music being produced. I work at a record label, or I work at the record label in the Faroes. And this record label has been going since 77. And the concept has always been that if you're based in the Faroes or somehow connected to the Faroes, we will release your music. We have never said no to anyone on account of their music. That's the concept. And it's a terrible business model, but that's how we do it. And we also help people apply for grants. So the biggest stars of the Faroes, they are supposedly getting the same treatment as your next door neighbor with a mental disability. Everybody is allowed a platform, and we are always there to give them that platform. And that means that there's so much stuff coming out, and it seems like everybody in the Faroes can sing, and most people play an instrument. And the problem is that since we're only 54,000 people, it's like you play six shows and everybody who would have come to your show has already seen you twice, you know? And that means it's harder to get that practice. We have a great advantage because we have made that connection to the outside world, like the world outside of the Faroes. So live, we are a lot stronger than most other acts here, simply because we are getting that practice, we're getting that experience. But like, I'm not a great singer, and there are so many amazing singers there who are not getting that practice, but it's getting better. It's getting a lot better. And you can also see that in the performances here.
And I'm
but
sure
musically, like everybody does everything. Like everybody's playing in different types of bands. And like I said, genres, they cross over. Like we play with R&B artists, we play with rappers, we play with jazz artists, even classical artists, and nobody thinks it's weird.
That's amazing.
Anyway, brother, here's Wonderwall! Wonderwall!
Bands doing the kind of thing that you guys do in your communities before? Or is this just like Joe and the Ship Boys paving the way for something completely new?
I mean, like the other punk band, they are also political.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there have been other political bands before, but I think the difference is that we're doing it in English and we are doing it like in a more modern way. Since we're a bit younger and we're active in a different time. I mean, these other bands, they were probably modern when they came out.
And but someone has to keep the flame alive.
Yeah, exactly. Since we're doing it in English, then it resonates with more people. And means that the outside world is also opened up for it. And I write lyrics that are applicable here, but also in other places.
Definitely.
Also, it's like I would never write lyrics that are only applicable outside of the Faroes. It has to be something about things here. So that is who I'm speaking to first and foremost. But I think that the whole world needs to change. So I want the whole world to be to have access to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And like all the stuff that you guys were singing about, like your life in the Faroes, definitely has been applicable pretty much all over the world, which is why so many people from everywhere have been listening to you guys. So what's coming up next for you? The album has, we should say the album, Reason for Hardcore Vibes 3, has just come out. It's a great album. I love it. I'm probably going to be spinning lots of it.
What's next for Ship Boys? We have this big European tour coming up from November till December. We'd love to come back to Canada, but we were very lucky to be able to go there last year.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of things that just fell in the right place, but I'm not sure when it will be feasible to come back, but crossing my fingers.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully. I've been listening to the album. It's not very hard to get through. 10.5 minutes for anybody who needs something to do for 10.5 minutes. I would recommend going and listening to the album, The Reason for Hardcore Vibes 3 by Joe and the Ship Boys. What's one
Thank
song
you
that
very
you
much.
Think we should go out with?
Oh, Mr. Nobody.
Love that song. That was
my
the
favorite.
One. Wasn't that the one that Iggy Pop came walking out to?
It was, yeah. And it's the most danceable one.
Yes, for sure. And it's very reassuring as well to listen to, a lovely affirmation. So we will go out with that song.
Yes, that's cool.
Amazing.
Thank you very much.
Joe, thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Yes, thanks for having me.
You to sing, but you do your own thing. When no one believes.
chasing you. This ain't true. Fuck all their lies. Fuck shitty minds. Keep your integrity. Listen, nobody. Cause you're not just a nobody. You're Mr. Fucking Nobody. You're not just a nobody. You're Mr. Fucking Nobody.
It is now 9:30 and you are listening to the CFRC FM on the 101.9 FM and on the World Wide Web at the www.cfrc.ca. But don't type the at the beginning of that. Anyways, so I'm Weave. I am here. It was a fun show last week. The 2004 Epicathon went well. And it's always good when you have guests and stuff. And so lo and behold, I have a guest. Sort of, I guess we're like really kicking this old school today.
This is like definitely a throwback, like yeah. A really, really big throwback.
So this is Dee Prescott is here tonight in the basement.
It's good to be here. It's good to be here. Everything still looks the same. Everything still looks the same. Well, I mean, okay, there's some different things, but yeah, this really reminds me of 2004.
It does.
Yeah.
So we're going to just basically do what we used to do, and we're just going to sort of figure it out, what we're going to play, wing it, and just kind of do our thing. Maybe talk about Belinda Carlisle again.
Oh, my God. I love Belinda Carlisle.
I know.
Yeah, and there'll definitely be some Go-Go's. So, like, if you don't know who the Go-Go's are, definitely listen to this whole show because you'll get into the Go-Go's.
Mm-hmm. And to start off with, we're going to do some 47 Teeth, sort of on the 2004 vibe, sort of should we call it a concept album?
Yeah, this is actually very fitting if we're playing like 2004 kind of stuff, because this is pretty much like our journal entries from this era. So, yeah.
So this is from 2 years ago.
Yes.
The album Apologies. This is the song Lost Boys Going Out to Shame. Wherever he may be, here on CFRC.